Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
We were just talking about the Peter Jackson Beatles documentary. It's going to be coming out next year.
Yes.
Which is the footage from the Let It Be film that, just footage has never been seen before to show a different light, that it wasn't as contentious the entire time. And it's supposed to be really, really, really good and interesting stuff. And that's why I'm also very compelled to take a look at the film the gentleman that we're going to talk to has created. It's called Meeting the Beatles in India. It's a documentary, and it also includes lots of footage that we've never seen.
Yes,
the Beatles before.
Believe it or not, there's still stuff we haven't seen.
Yeah, with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. So, and he's got an interesting story how he got this footage and encountered and spent time with him. So please welcome Paul Saltzman to the show this morning. Good morning, Paul.
That is really quite a welcome.
Well, we try to make people feel comfortable and welcome. So listen, Paul, this... how long ago, what year, what time frame was this, and how did you end up in this location with the Maharishi and the Beatles? If you could walk us down a little bit that, and then we'll ask you some questions about it.
Sure, absolutely. So 1968, February, I was in India working on a documentary film. I was the sound recordist for a film by the National Film Board of Canada. I had said goodbye to my girlfriend, Tricia. We had both cried a lot. We loved each other a lot. We didn't want to be apart. She cried, I cried. And I went off to India, and 6 weeks later, I got my first letter from Tricia, and the first line was, "Dear Paul, I've moved in with Henry."
Uh-oh. Wow. Well, there you go. Okay. Now, you're about 23 at the time?
I had just turned 24.
Okay. So
I was devastated. I was shattered. Have you folks all had at least one heartbreak?
Yeah, of course we have. Yes, we know what it's like. So you're a little lost, and you're in India. And is that what motivated you to, seek some guidance?
Yeah, well, what happened was that a guy who I knew for 3 days in my life, if he's out there and hears me, I'm still trying to find him to give him a double big thank you. His name is Al Bragg. Now, there's Al Braggs online, but none of them seem to be the right one. But he's American, and I knew him for 3 days in my life. And he said, "Why don't you try meditation for the heartbreak?" And I said, "I'll try anything. I remember every word." You know how we remember some of these conversations,
yeah,
word for word. And he said, "Well, I'm going to hear the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi speak at New Delhi University tonight. Do you want to come?" And I didn't know who he was, and I didn't know nothing about meditation or mysticism. And we went, and I only remember one thing the Maharishi said. And we were in an auditorium that was, like, jammed with 400 people, standing room only. And he said one thing that I remember, but it truly was what I needed to hear. He said, "Meditation takes you beneath and below your daily worries and concerns to a place of inner rejuvenation from which you come back renewed and refreshed." And I thought, that's what I need. So I went to the ashram, and I already was a Beatles fan, but I got to the ashram gate, and the young man who spoke to me at the gate, it was locked, and I said, "I've come to learn meditation." And he said, "I'm sorry, the ashram's closed because the Beatles and their wives are here." That was not good news in that moment. It was not good news at all.
Yeah.
So I said, "Can I wait?" And he was a little taken aback, and he said, "Oh, okay." I had a sleeping bag. There was a tent under the trees across the path. And he said, "You're welcome to sleep in that tent, and we'll send you our simple vegetarian meal." So this guy, whose name was Raghavendra, was my angel. So I waited, and I waited for 8 days. And then he said, "Okay, you can come in."
And at this time, the Beatles are still there. And from what you relay, they were very welcoming to you and to your presence, correct?
They were just delightful. They were delightful. They were, no one was getting in. There were 20 to 30 press people, camera people, sound people, writers, newspaper people arriving at the gates every day to, quote, interview the Beatles. And no, sorry, the ashram's closed. So they would wait outside, and the Maharishi would come out every afternoon and do a little press conference so they could get what they came for. And I would watch this for 8 days. And then, but they were inside, but no one was being allowed in. Mm. And they were just, they were kind, they were generous, they were welcoming, they were unbelievably down to earth. No Paul, st- star stuff.
Who did you first encounter, and what was that encounter like?
So I'm invited in, and Raghavendra takes me to a meditation room, and he teaches me meditation, gives me a mantra, a sound, a vibrational sound. And he says, you're now welcome to spend your days in the ashram and take your meals with us, but you'll still have to sleep in the tent. There's no beds. I say, great. I do a 30-minute meditation, and it's an absolute miracle. I come out of the meditation, and the agony is gone, and what replaced it is bliss. The reason I'm telling you this is what happened next is really related to that bliss. So I go out of the meditation room, and I'm not even thinking Beatles, honest to God, not in my brain at all. I'm just so relieved not to be in agony. And I'm walking through the ashram, and I see John Lennon sitting at a table, maybe 100, 150 feet away.
Wow.
And I can tell that Paul McCartney is sitting across from him. I can only see his back. And in this state of bliss, and I can only describe it this way, it was not a thought. I didn't think Beatles. I just found myself curving towards them, literally found myself curving towards them. I'm halfway there, and I notice very calmly, oh, my heart's beating a little faster. It's like in an altered state, truly, which is what meditation does. And I get to the end of the table, and there's Paul and John and George and Ringo and their wives and Jane Asher and with Paul and Donovan and Mia Farrow and Mike Love of the Beach Boys and Mal Evans, their roadie. And they're talking, so I don't want to interrupt. And I'm just calmly standing at the end of the table.
You guys playing cards? Notice...
No, go ahead.
No, they were just being together. So they notice someone's at the end of standing there, of course. And then they stop talking, and John looks up at me, and I just said, "May I join you?" Very calmly, and he said, "Sure, mate. Pull up a chair." Paul turns to me and says, "Come and sit here." And he pulls a chair next to him, and I sit down.
Wow. I mean, for the amount of things in the universe to be aligned for you to be at that moment, to have them in that state of mind, while the press is salivating outside to get access the way you just, by happenstance, are there, is just amazing. And then over the course of the days, I mean, so you're allowed to take photographs. You're allowed to take a number of photographs. Why do you think the barriers were down, and why did they acquiesce to that?
Good question. And what you said at the beginning of that is very important, too. See, I've learned in my life, I didn't know it then, I've learned in my life, and I really mean this, that if we follow our hearts, and that's an easy thing to say, but it's not hard to do. We just have to ask ourselves, so what do I feel like now? What do I want to do now? And the answers are always deeply within us, in the heart. So I think what happened next, and I'll just keep going, is why they were so open with me. So I sit down, and to my shock, I hear a scream in my head. As soon as my bum hits the seat, I hear a scream in my head. Eek, it's the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. You realize, yeah.
Now, I saw them live in Toronto in 64, and their music had already changed my life. But I never said, eek, it's the Beatles, and that. So this scream in my head is like the fan, right? And the next thing I hear is what I will call my soul. And it's a very deep, calm, all-loving, all-soothing voice. And I hear in my head these words. Hey, Paul, they're just ordinary people like you. Everyone farts and is afraid in the night.
Right.
That's what it said. And the next thing that happens before I have a chance to think, and this is important, guys, you know, the heart is.
Well, we can't say that on the radio in America.
It's a stinky guidance system.
Yeah. and the heart is a great guidance system, and it's a bad computer. So the next thing that happens before I have a chance to think is John turns to me, and in his wonderful wry, tart digging wit. And without this is not a compliment. And, you know, this is like the Brits thinking they're superior to you Americans, right? Uh-huh. He says to me, teasing, so you're American then, like, right? Not a compliment.
Right.
And I say, no, Canadian. And he turns to the rest of the group and he says, ah, he's from one of the colonies. And they're all laughing and we're all laughing. And he turns back to me and he says, so you're still worshiping Her Highness then? And I say, no, not personally. And then Ringo and Paul start teasing me about having the Queen on our money. And I say, remember, I'm in an altered state.
Right.
I'm not thinking Beatles. I say, well, we may have the Queen on our money, but hey, she lives with you guys.
Yeah.
Now, we're all laughing, at which John turns back to the rest of the group and he says, ah, you see, they still have a sense of humor in the colonies. Huh. And that was it. That was it. They just took me into their group.
Okay.
So they were taking pictures of each other. Like it was a family outing on a certain level. Those four guys were close as brothers. You could feel it. You could see it. They were humorous and funny and playful, and they were a team, and they
and
loved
the,
each other.
The spirit of this is captured in the film, and you have, I mean, you have David Lynch, I guess, speaking on it as well, and a number of other, Morgan Freeman Penny narrates.
Yeah.
And so this is, I mean, for people may be having a hard time understanding why this is such a seismic thing. But, I mean, and I was just saying earlier to Preston, at that point in time, I don't even know if there's a correlation to anybody in entertainment now to what the Beatles were then at that point in time. Virtually everything they laid their hands on or any trend they were a part of became a worldwide phenomenon instantly. So their embracing of this mysticism and India and the Maharishi changed pop culture in a snap.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely did. Absolutely did. And you're right. I don't think there's anyone alive today. And I think that quite did that. And they were, I'll use the word magical in the sense that you say, yes, their creativity and their joy and their playfulness just swept the world.
Yeah, it's an amazing time. And in that particular time, with the Maharishi, their creative juices were flowing because they were writing songs that ended up on the White Album.
A ton of songs.
Right.
With that, did you hear any works in progress while you were there, Paul?
I heard one, and that was Obladi Oblada. And the story is really lovely. One of the joys for me in making this film is I could use graphic novel illustrations to tell parts of the story that were very deeply intimate with me and George, with me and John, but also was amazingly creative, like the Obladi thing. In other words, there's no photographs of how they were doing that, but I could tell the story with music and graphic novels. So I'm walking along one day in the ashram, and I'm passing John and Paul, and they're sitting on the steps of their bungalow, and they're strumming their Martin D28 acoustic guitars. And I went and got my camera. I only thought of getting my camera twice because literally within 30 seconds of sitting down with them, as crazy as this sounds, the Beatles went away. And I didn't even think of asking for a photo with them. And we were buddies for a week. And I didn't think of asking. I didn't think of it. So I go get my camera and I come back and I walk through the gate and I say, hi, guys. And they say, hi, Paul. And I take a shot of John, which is probably my favorite picture, the one with his finger in his ear. He's scratching his ear, and there's this beautiful guitar across his chest. And I sit down, and they're fooling around. They're singing a bit of this, a bit of that. I recognize a bit of Michelle, a bit of Eleanor Rigby. They're like just having fun, and then I don't recognize other things they're singing. And then Paul looks down, and beneath his toe, under his sandal, is a little piece of torn yellow paper. And I look down, and written on it, I can see it says, Obladi, Oblada, Bra, Lala, How the Life Goes On. And he's looking at it, and they start singing. So it's like he doesn't know the words yet. He's just written it down.
Wow.
So they're singing it over and over again, and they're working with it. And the key thing is they were having so much fun. You could see
it's good to hear that
pouring out of them. Oh, yeah.
So it's like, we got to write another hit. Time is money. Come on, come on. You know, yeah. It's a much more relaxed sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just flowing. So I'm sitting there, and I take the odd picture. And I take one picture, which is called Obladi Oblada, because and they paused just to take a rest. They went back into it. But just before the pause, I take this picture. Paul looks up at me, and he says, that's all there is so far. We don't have any of the words yet. And then they went back to it.
Wow. That's pretty incredible, man. By the way, Paul, is there any video that you managed to get, any film?
Well, so I shot these pictures. I put them away. I forgot about them for 32 years till my daughter reminded me of them. And then But I also shot 100 feet of movie film. And the reason for that was Ringo was shooting with his camera. And he said to me one day, we're making a film about the Maharishi and meditation, but I'm not going to be in it because I'm behind the camera. Would you shoot some film for me so that I can be in it? And he showed me how to work his camera. So I shot some film for them for a couple of days. And then I finished, and he gave me a 100-foot roll of film. And we, you know, he was very funny. He gives me this 100-foot roll of unexposed Kodak 16-millimeter film, and he says, here, why don't you take this and shoot it and keep it for yourself? You never know, it might be worth some money one day. And we wow. have a big laugh. Yeah. We have a big laugh. And I take it and I say, well, thank you. I don't know why it would ever be worth any money. And we have a big laugh. I shoot the 100-foot roll of film. I develop it. I show it to a few friends. And when I found my still photos 32 years later, there was no film, and I've never been able to find it.
Oh, man. That's too bad.
Well, you have a documentary, and that's good enough.
Yeah, you do. Which, by the way, Paul, how is it available for people to watch?
So you can go to – there's several ways you can see it. One is you can go to my website, which is just thebeatlesinindia.com, and you'll see a link to the film, and that'll take you to the film, and you buy a ticket, and you can see the film like it's a streaming thing.
Okay.
There's also going to be a pay-per-view release on the anniversary of John's birthday on October 9 coming up. So there'll be a pay-per-view release, which will make it available to, I'm told, 80 million American homes. That would be nice. I sunk all my savings into the film, so it'll be nice if people watch it. Right. But mostly, so that's the two ways you can find it. So go to my website, TheBeatlesInIndia.com, and there's a link there.
Okay. Very cool.
We'll post it on our website so our listeners can find it. What a great story, Paul. I'm so glad somebody talked you into to going and taking a look at those photos again and releasing this, because I love seeing, you know, we've seen so many photos and a lot of them the same ones over and over, so it's great to be able to see some fresh material like this. Best of luck with the film, and that's a great story.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Paul Saltzman, guys. The movie is called Meeting the Beatles in India. It's interesting, Steve, because you mentioned it's hard to grasp the size of what they were at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you didn't have as many outlets as you do now as far as entertainment goes, and they so dominated. it's staggering. My friends and I recently did a contest where we would create our own Beatles playlist out of cover songs that other artists have done of Beatles songs.
Right.
So when I started heading down this path, now I know some songs, but I started doing some research and finding there are so many covers and tributes to this band.
Sure.
And I mean, that took place during that day and age, like Aretha Franklin, like Ella Fitzgerald, Buddy Rich, Fats Domino, the masters of their craft, not even in that format of music.
Sinatra covered them.
Sinatra. We're doing homages to this band at that time when they were still around.
Yeah.
That's how big they were.
It's heavy duty.
It's hard to imagine. There's nothing like that now, for sure.
The documentary makes an interesting aesthetic choice. When there are things that they don't have footage of, they use the California Raisins to portray the Beatles, which is kind of a weird
call. That's odd, yeah. Do you want me to see if I can get Amy on? Is that what you're asking?
Well, she's scheduled to be at 9:20, so that's why I'm holding this
9:30.
Up.
Is it 9:30?
9:30, okay.
Well, 9:20 is the new 9:30.
The new 9:30.
I'll text her right now, and while I do that, I was going to ask Preston, what year did you interview Paul?
It was 1993.
Okay.
When's your documentary coming out?
That will be, it was another 10 years.
His name was Kenny Knight. He had no idea he was preparing to interview one of the greatest performers of all time. using a phone.
That's right.
A microphone taped to it.
That's right. And my greatest regret was having him sign the poster to Ken.
It was at that moment that Preston looked at the signature and realized it had been signed to Ken instead of Preston.
Do you? You have to still have that audio. And if you have, we played it.
I have it in my briefcase.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Can we play that? Like,
I'm not real proud of the interview.
Oh, stop
come
it.
On, man! Listen, we promise to make very little fun of you.
Yeah, I have it. I
mean,
I honestly carry it with me.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
All right, how about if you let us listen to it, I'll get my first traffic report.
Ooh.
I thought that was accessible. Or you have it?
No,
you,
I have it. It's on VHS.
And you have my air check tape,
Her
right?
Her name was Kathy Romano.
not in my briefcase.
You sent me a picture, and for some reason you have an old air check tape of mine, which I don't know why you do.
I don't know. I save a bunch of stuff. You know what? Let me see if I do indeed have that cassette. I may have taken it out here, but
I guarantee you mine's worse than yours.
Probably. I'm sure. Well, no doubt.
No doubt.
Let me see, because I used to care. Here's my emergency porn that I have.
You got to have it. What if you get caught in a snowstorm?
Yeah, or the
what are you going to pleasure yourself to?
Yeah,
Preston, apparently we have played it before, and it's available on our website.
Then I take that. Guys, remember that?
HTTP://something-or-other.
Well, that's the kind of impact it had on us that we didn't recall. I thought we had played it on the air.
We've done a lot. We've been on the air for 22 years.
I know. All right. It's a lot to remember.
You know what? And I lied. I don't. Now I need to know if I have.
Well, let's listen to the porn.
Yeah.
No, it's a book.
Oh.
It's a.
You want to read it? Read it out loud.
Yeah. It's a magazine. You know, the old days.
My babysitter.
It's erotica.
I can tell by that huge bulge in your pants.
Hang on. Wait. I'll show you my emergency porn.
Morgan Freeman will narrate anything, I guess. For...
Wait. Where did that go?
There's too many compartments in that.
There's a lot. Oh yeah. Here you go. This is. It's Playboy.
Oh, that's right. That's very innocuous,
and
too.
This was,
it's very respect.
And I think it's autographed from.
By Paul McCartney.
No, Brie Olson.
Oh.
Paul McCartney autographed.
You want
porn?
Me to sign this? Right here above the labia?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Paul. I have nothing to. I just don't have it. Even as. Post-its, there's nothing, so could you sign this?
Yeah, all right.
Here, do you want to hear some of it? We do have...
No, we have a guest on the line.
But it's Come only on. 15 seconds.
Okay, yeah, here we go. This is...
Jim getting ready for the big show tonight with the man of the hour, the man of the evening, the one that St. Louis is all set to go. 40,000 people going to pack the place tonight. I have sitting next to me Mr. Paul McCartney. Paul, welcome to St. Louis. Thank you, sir. Nice to be here, and glad to have you here.
Oh, man, I'm getting goosebumps just hearing that.
You were doing fine. Oh. You were doing fine.
Well, to preface that, I didn't know I was going to interview him.
Right.
They told I was just there to meet him, and they said, you have 10 minutes with Paul. And I'm like, 10 minutes to do what? And they said, well, they interview him. And I'm like,
10 minutes to do what?
Okay. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. I would say things.
Yeah.
And not even realize I was saying things, so, you know, asking questions. And I didn't ask him anything about the Beatles. Nothing.
What was it like being in the Stones?
Anyway, it was a special moment in my career.
So we do have a couple more clips from Preston's interview with Paul McCartney, if you want to hear them.
Let's hear them.
All right, cool. Okay. We have a good question, and then... your ending of the interview, which I think sounds really good.
All right, here we go.
Hey, remember when you were in the Beatles and you did that album, Abbey Road, and at the very end of the song, it goes, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. You remember that?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, Chris. In my experience, it is. I find the more you give, the more you get.
That's when he goes, awesome.
You remember that? All right, let's get the ending. By the way, you said you weren't going to bust my balls.
Thank you, Paul McCartney. Thank you for being one of the greatest... a living legend, and a legend of rock and roll, and just thanks for being on the show.
That's one of the all-time best bits. Yeah, I love it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.